And thanks to all of you for coming out this Saturday night in Salt Lake City. Thank you to those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback. My email is at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our topic today is the opportunity of a human lifetime. None of us were created to drag through life, passing time, keeping our heads down. Our Creator Krishna is called all-attractive, the source of everything. Nothing unattractive can emanate from Him. Our spiritual selves may be at present covered by dull, dead, scarred, overweight, out of shape, pimply matter. But within the body is a luminous being, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, He claims us as His own. Mamai vangsha jive loke. The jivas, the living beings, they are angsha, they are parts of me. And then later on in the verse, He says, jiva bhuta sanatana, they are eternal, just like I am eternal. And in the Gita, in another part, He says, above this dull, dark, dead, inert matter, apareyam istas tu anyam, above the material energy, there's another energy, which is jiva bhuta mahabaho, which is the spiritual energy. And that composes all the living beings, such as you or me. We are created, and especially in the human form, we are fashioned in the image of God. Now, my question tonight is, why would you use this divine, human-like, God-like form to seek after the same pleasures which are available to the animals? The pigs can eat better than us. The bears can sleep for 6 months at a time. The birds can fly easier than us without elaborate arrangements of mechanical planes and airports. The pigeons and dogs can have sex a lot more often than we can. The tigers have massive muscle, sharp teeth and claws for fighting better than us. Considering all this, why should we compete with the animals for eating, sleeping, mating, defending? They're better than us at all of those things. Now, what we need to ask is, what is the one thing that we can do in the human form that the animals cannot do? What is that one super excellent purpose for which we are awarded the human body? It is that we can learn to love God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Each one of us were created in the image of Krishna for happiness, for prosperity, for creativity, for fulfillment on a level far above the animals. We just have to do one thing to claim these qualities. We have to keep our Creator first place in our lives. The closer they are to the fire, the more the sparks retain light and heat. The further away they move from the fire, the more they lose their original qualities and lapse into cold and darkness. When you chant the names of God, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you revive your original God consciousness. You come close again to the Lord through sound vibration. You fan the dying embers and revive love of God, or Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj said this, Komara macharat pragna. Komara means from the age of five, that this human form of life is so rarely achieved and so valuable, you shouldn't waste any time. You should begin to learn to love God under the guidance of a bona fide guru no later than the age of five. Komara macharat pragna. Dharmam bhagavatam iha durlabham manushyam janma. This human body is made of the same flesh and bones and blood, the same chemicals as the bodies of the llamas and the peacocks and the parrots and the cows and the sheep, and the pigs and the donkeys and the goats. There's no difference in the composition of our physical body and the physical body of the animals. However, in the human form, and in the human form only, one can learn to love God. The human form is such an opportunity, a golden opportunity, that Prahlad Maharaj recommends we begin our devotional life as early as the age of 5. Prabhupada says here, out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Well, true, that's all very well, but I'm not that talented. I'm not a difference maker. I don't believe I should heed this call to action. I'm insignificant. I'm just another one of the 6 billion humans on the planet. Let me tell you about Marie. She worked at a small restaurant near Los Angeles. She waited on tables, cooked, cleaned, basically did it all. One day her boss, the owner, said that more and more customers were requesting desserts. At that time the restaurant didn't offer any. The boss told Marie she had to come in earlier to make desserts every morning. Her reaction was frustration. I already worked hard enough, she thought. This is not fair. Instead of getting bitter, Marie decided to accept the new duty as a challenge. She set her sights on creating the best desserts she possibly could. Her pies caught on. Customers loved them. In fact, people came into the restaurant just to have a piece of her pie. Her pies became so popular that Marie decided to open her own pie company. She took a step of faith and quickly all things fell into place. Found a bakery, bought the equipment she needed. It was a moment of favor. Before long, her little business began to grow and her son joined her. They opened more and more locations. Eventually, Marie Callender's company had 110 restaurants and an entire line of frozen pies and entrees. You say you're not that talented? Can you make a pie? That's all it took Marie to get her started. We're here tonight to encourage you to have a bigger vision for your life. There are exciting things in your future. The right people are out there. The breaks that you need have already been lined up by the all-attractive creator of the universe. Here it is said, God has already prearranged times of increase, times of blessing. You will have opportunities to meet the right people, opportunities to advance in your career, opportunities to fulfill your dreams. You may not be experiencing any good breaks right now. Maybe you're stuck in a rut. But let me encourage you with this. In your future, there are God-ordained moments which He has planned out for you. The problem is that too many people miss these moments. Because they've tried and failed in the past, they quit believing. Or they're distracted. There's so much clutter in their lives, they can't hear the still small voice inside telling them, it's your moment of favor. You may have suffered some bad breaks, joined the club. You may have tried and failed. You may now be sitting on the sidelines of life, not expecting anything good. Shake off that defeated mentality. Rise up and say, this is a new day. It may not have happened in the past, but it will happen someday. I know that Krishna has moments of favor coming my way. What can stop these moments of favor? Not the enemy, not critics, not other people. Nobody can keep you from your destiny except you. My Bobby and I came to Spanish Fork, Utah in 1981. By 1987, we had a little spark. It was finally enough money from selling cookies to build the log house and start having regular Sunday feasts. We started with a spark, just an old rundown radio station. Now we had a small fire. We wanted to fan that small fire and start a forest fire. So we announced the construction of a $1 million+ temple in Spanish Fork, Utah. We raised funds as best we could, talked it up, sold a lot of cookies. There were some newspaper articles in the Daily Universe and the Salt Lake Tribune. But nothing really encouraging and promising happened for 7 years. Then around 1994, I went to do a puja at Narayan Sutar's house, and Dinesh Patel was there, and after the puja, Dinesh said to me, I will match The first $50,000 that you raise, I will match it with another $50,000. That was the first official green light from Krishna, and from then on everything moved quickly. In May of 1999, the LDS Foundation recognized the temple effort enough that it gave its official blessings in a grant of $25,000. The temple opened 2 years later in 2001. Orrin Hatch flew all the way out from Washington, D.C. to be one of the keynote speakers. And one of the other keynote speakers was a Utah County Commissioner who was little known at the time named Gary Herbert. But we had people's attention. The opportunity had been there. We did our cultivation. We paid our dues. We went for it. And Krishna made it successful. Woody Hayes, the famous football coach at Ohio State University, he once explained why some defensive backs get more interceptions than others. A matter of courage and position. As soon as the quarterback drops back to pass, the tension's on, and the defensive back has two choices. He can play it safe and simply stay behind the receiver so as to make the tackle after the catch, or he can do the job right and position himself as to appropriately step between the receiver and the ball at precisely the right moment. The first choice minimizes risk. The second maximizes opportunity. Which one the player chooses depends on the degree of his security. This is also the difference between All-Americans and run-of-the-mill players. The All-American believes in himself. The All-American does not feel failure in pursuit of excellence. He'll opt for courage and position every time. Opening the Spanish Fork Temple wasn't a lucky break. That was Krishna bringing preparation and opportunity together. He ordained that temple from the beginning of the world. That's why we don't have to worry. We don't have to go around frustrated because things aren't happening as fast as we'd like. All we have to do is stay in faith, knowing that God is directing our steps. As long as we keep believing, our moments of favor are on the way. It's easy to get frustrated when your dreams aren't coming to pass on your timetable, but be patient, prepare yourself, stay open for signs of a breakthrough. Stay excited about your future. Don't sell out to circumstances, to setbacks, or to critics. Some years ago, an energetic young man began as a clerk in a hardware store. Like many old-time hardware stores, the inventory included thousands of dollars of worth of items that were obsolete or seldom called for by customers. The young man was smart enough to know that no thriving business can carry such an inventory and still show a healthy profit. He proposed a sale to get rid of the stuff. The owner was reluctant, but finally he agreed to let him set up a table in the middle of the store and sell off a few of the oldest items. Every product was priced 10 cents. The sale was a success, and the young fellow got permission to run a second one. It, too, went over just as well as the first. That gave the young clerk an idea. Why not open a store that would sell only nickel and dime items? He could run the store and the boss could supply the capital. The young man's boss was not enthusiastic. The plan will never work, he said, because you can't find enough items to sell at a nickel and dime. The young man was disappointed, but eventually went ahead on his own and made a fortune out of the idea. His name was F.W. Woolworth. Later, his boss lamented, quote, "As near as I can figure it, every word I used in turning Woolworth down has cost me about $1 million. In the Padma Purana, there's a verse which tells us that not just on this planet, but spread throughout the universe, there are 8,400,000 mortis, or if you like, loosely translated, species of life, 900,000 aquatics, 2 million plants, 1,100,000 different species of insects, worms, and reptiles, 1 million species of birds, 3 million species of animals, and relatively few, only 400,000 species of human beings. If we convert the above numbers of different living entities into percentage, you can look at the following pie chart. Aquatics are occupying 11%, plant kingdom occupying 24%, reptiles occupying 13%, Birds occupying 12%, beasts are occupying 35%, and humans are occupying a mere 5%. Of the 5% human beings, majority are uncultured people. If you remove them from our discussions, you're left with 2.5%. These are civilized people, but unfortunately, they're just lip service people. They'll talk big about religion, but actually they dabble still in sinful life. So only half of those follow spiritual principles. The rest, you might call them Jack Krishnas or Jack Mormons. So now we've whittled down to 1.25% living entities. Of these 1.25, most of them are fruitive workers. What does that mean? They don't serve God. They want to make God their servant. They go to their church, temple, or mosque with a gimme, 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 gimme attitude and their shopping list. Now, if we consider that only 10% of these are wise enough to know that we should be serving God and not the other way around, then we come to 0.125% of all living entities. And if we consider that of those wise persons, only 10% of them are actually liberated, then we come to 0.0125% of living entities. Finally, if we take it from Bhagavad Gita, that only 10% of liberated souls become 100% Krishna consciousness, then we come down to those Krishna conscious living entities who are only 0.00125% of living entities. That is the rarity of a Krishna conscious person. Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, talked about the rare opportunity of a human form of life. This is the creator of the universe. And he's basically saying, if I could take birth as a human being, I would do it in a second. Why? Quote, the human form of life is of such importance that we demigods, desire to have such a life. For in the human form, one can attain perfect religious truth and knowledge. If one in this human form of life does not understand the Supreme Personality of God and in his abode, it is to be understood that he has lost the opportunity of a lifetime. In fact, he has lost the opportunity which comes only once in millions of lifetimes. I believe that we all have literally the opportunity of a lifetime. And that opportunity is human life itself. Prabhupada says, Krishna's mercy is always there. It is your misuse of free will. You are given the opportunity that is fortune, but you do not accept the fortune, and that becomes your misfortune. Our time on earth in the human form is the opportunity of a lifetime. Human life itself is a rarely achieved opportunity that carries with it a responsibility to use your God-given abilities to glorify God. Every one of us within our lifetimes will be given opportunities to find Krishna's will and to do Krishna's work. We're all given opportunities to make an eternal difference in our lives and the lives of others. In fact, from God's perspective, life is equal opportunity employment. But here's the catch. Use it or lose it. If I give you a $100 bill and you don't know to do anything better with that $100 bill than light your cigar, then I'm not going to give you another $100 bill anytime in the near future. I heard a story about a Christian pastor. He was invited with his wife and along with about 200 other clergies to meet with the President of the United States on the National Day of Prayer. So when he and his wife, whose name was Teresa, went, they were ushered into the East Room to hear the President speak. And then afterwards, they were allowed into a receiving line to meet him. They were told that there would be no pictures with the President and they had to move briskly through the line. Well, the President was gracious enough to speak with them for a minute or two. Then they moved on into another room where there were refreshments. And while they were standing there, another man came into that room with an invitation that had been signed by the President. So the preacher's wife, Teresa, said, "Where did you get that?" He said, "Oh, the President just signed it." "Well, if you got your sign, I'm going to get mine signed, she said. And her husband, the pastor, said, Teresa, you can't get back in that line. The Secret Service won't let you. And then he stopped and realized who he was talking to. And he said, you know, I actually don't think that Secret Service can stop you. Surely enough, his little wife got through the Secret Service, got back in line, went back to the president and said, Mr. President, you signed an invitation for someone else. So would you mind signing these two? One for me and one for my husband. Thank God the preacher said, number one, that he did. And thank number two, that she didn't get shot by the Secret Service. But now he has two signed and framed invitations hanging up in the study of his house. Now, what makes those invitations valuable is not the invitations themselves, but the fact that they were signed by the president. What makes you and your abilities and your gifts so special is that they are given to you by God. It's not how much you have that matters to Krishna. It's what you do with what you have that matters to him. He's not concerned whether you have great talent or small talent. It's what you do with the talent that matters to him. Your opportunity will never exceed your ability, and your ability will never exceed your opportunities. The point to remember is this. All that you have, whatever it is, all of it is a gift from God. And this all leads me to ask every one of you who claims to be a God-centered person, are you wisely reinvesting what Krishna has given to you to bring him honor and glory? Or are you burying your talents and abilities in the dirt of self-centeredness, self-promotion? How would you feel if you went to a bank, opened up a savings account, put $1,000 a year in that account for 10 years, and at the end of 10 years you went to collect your money and you only received $10,000 back? How would you feel when you asked the banker what had happened? He told you they didn't put your money in the interest-bearing account. They just went behind the bank and buried it in the ground. You would be fit to be tied. But how do you think Krishna feels when he invests gifts and abilities and talents in you straight from his hand, and then you fail to use them for his glory? Just because you may not be as talented or gifted as someone else, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't give it your very best. John Wooden was the former head basketball coach at UCLA, won more national championships than any basketball coach in history. From an early age, Coach Wooden's father taught him one basic principle. Don't whine, don't complain, don't make excuses. Just do the best that you can. In Coach Wooden's senior year of high school, his team lost the state championship by a single point. Coach Wooden was the only member of the team who didn't cry after the loss. The reason was, even though he's disappointed, he knew that he had done just what his father had asked. He had done the best he could. That's all Krishna asks of you, to do your best, to use whatever gifts he has given you for his glory. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Iti madva bhajanti bham, Buddha bhava sammambita. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Our encouragement today is to position yourselves right in the center of his plan for your life and have the courage to step out in faith when preparation meets opportunity. The human form comes along only rarely. Don't waste it pursuing the same pleasures which are freely available to the animals. You're in the uniform of this human body. Don't settle there as a run-of-the-mill player. Keep moving forward. Position yourself among the civilized. Within the civilized, position yourself among the wise. Within the wise, position yourself among the liberated. And among the liberated, position yourself as a pure devotee of the Lord. Be an all-American. Be a hero of faith. Take the opportunity of this lifetime and invest it in the life that never ends. If you do this, Krishna will look down on you and say, "That's my boy. That's my girl. I'm blessing them. I'm favoring them. I'm highlighting them as examples of what it means to honor me, to love me, and serve me in this life. And in the next life, I'm going to bring them back home, back to Godhead." Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.